Translation purported by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Thus, during two seasons, the rainy season and autumn, I had the opportunity to hear these great-souled sages constantly chant the unadulterated glories of Lord Hari. As the flow of my devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. Purport. Transcendental loving service for the Supreme Lord is the natural inclination of every living being. The instinct is dormant in everyone, but due to the association of material modes of passion and ignorance, due to the association of material nature, the modes of passion and ignorance cover this from time immemorial. If, by the grace of the Lord and the great soul devotees of the Lord, a living being becomes fortunate enough to associate with the unadulterated devotees of the Lord and gets a chance to hear the unadulterated glories of the Lord, certainly the flow of devotional service takes place like the flow of a river. As the river flows on until she reaches the sea, similarly, pure devotional service flows by the association of pure devotees till it reaches the ultimate goal, namely, transcendental love of God. Such a flow of devotional service cannot stop. On the contrary, it increases more and more without limitation. The flow of devotional service is so potent that any onlooker also becomes liberated from the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. These two qualities of nature are thus removed, and the living being is liberated, being situated in his original position. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Morning, everybody. I'd like to welcome all of you to the Wednesday morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. Thank you all for allowing me to speak here. Jaya Shri Radha Gunananda, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. So, before I begin, I would like to request the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially the senior most devotees, that I may be blessed to speak something which is purifying to our hearts, enlivening in our devotional service, and that our hearts become fertile ground for this sublime message to take root on. So today we are hearing an ecstatic verse and purport. We are hearing the instructions of Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. So Vyasadeva has become very despondent, even though he has been working so hard. It's like, something's not right. I'm not feeling it. So he goes to Narada Muni and says, like, my dear Gurudev, please explain to me what's going on. Why am I feeling dejected? You know, why am I not just like bouncing off the walls at this moment after doing such nice, wonderful work? And, you know, Narada Muni says, you've done wonderfully, but you forgot to, you know, put more Krishna into it. So, you know, then he goes into, you know, a little tangent, you know, talking about the way that when you hear just Krishna, like a lot of Krishna, just Krishna, then everything just becomes perfect. You know, your heart becomes cleansed in the ways that they're talking about here today. And we're hearing here that, you know, he starts to give an example of that. He gives his own life story, right? So we all, you know, to make a point, really, you know, to nail down a point, sometimes we give a personal example, right? You know, in my life, this is what happened, right? So Narada Muni, being here a great preacher, he goes like, okay, yeah, here's my life story. You know, once I was little, and I was the son of a maidservant. And these great Mahatmas came. And, you know, they stayed with us for two rainy seasons. And because, yeah, I was the son of a maidservant, then, you know, she engaged me. You know, the mothers always like to make the children go and, you know, come on, you know, give that to the Swami. And then he gets the cookie, right? So that's what happened with Narada Muni. You know, he was 5 years old and, you know, oh, like that. And the Mahatmas were just so endeared, you know. We see when little kids come and do some devotional service, seeing this this little boy, I don't know, I didn't see him today, but he always comes at the beginning to offer, you know, flowers, and then he bows down like that, right? It's just like so endearing. It's like chai, you know, little kid doing devotional service. So that's what the Mahatma saw, you know, like a little kid doing these, you know, this nice devotional service, and they just showered all of their mercy on him. And because of that service that he rendered unto them, then he got a real eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from them, to hear the messages of God. That is what the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second canto says, that when one does service to the great Atmas, to the Mahatmas, great service is done, because and the fruit of that is that we get, you know, this desire to hear. So what happens when we get that desire to hear and we get that chance to hear from these great souls? So he's telling us here that they stay there during two seasons, the rainy season and the autumn. And because of that, he says, as the flow of devotional service began, the coverings of the modes of passion and ignorance vanished. Now, isn't that nice? You know, that's the perfection of, you know, our endeavors, that we get to hear the Lord's glories and actually feel something happening rather than falling asleep. That's what happens to me, generally. It starts, Om Namo Bhagavate. The end. Looking at Sridhar Swami's commentary, he says that actually, the modes of rajas and tamas are the causes for our bhakti not being dridha, you know, fixed, strong. Prabhupada here is telling us from the beginning that our natural inclination is that of sattvaguna. You know, it is the shuddha sattva. Loving devotional, transcendental, loving service, that is our normal state. But because we came in contact with this world, we started mixing up, you know, with these modes of material nature. And in this world, there is no shuddha sattva. Apart from, you know, when pure devotees come and transcendentalize the atmosphere, everything is mixed with the modes of material nature, everything. So when we have that mixture, then things don't become as transcendental. Why is it that when we are chanting our japa, well, at least for me, you know, the ecstasy, you know, the tears, you know, start flowing, the hair stand on end. What is it called? Horripilations. You know, and the shaking of the body. Why is that not happening? Because of tamas and rajas. Otherwise, we'd be ecstatic every time. And this thing happens all over the universe to different degrees. Right now, in the middle planetary systems here in Bhumandala, you know, we have a predominance of rajas. That's the predominant mode here. Everybody is in rajas mode. If you don't believe that, go to London. You know, just go downtown London. Last Saturday, we saw rajas to its, you know, to its utmost in the gay parade. Yeah. Boy. And if you start going up in the planetary systems, you will see that the mode of sattva starts becoming more prominent, right? You know, in the worlds of Maharloka, Tapoloka, and Janaloka, you know, the munis, you know, they're there doing tapasya, and they're doing yagyas, and that's very sattvic. Satyaloka, where Lord Brahma is, super sattvic. But even in these places, you know, there's a little tinge of rajas and tamas. Little tinge. Because of that, they're in this material world. So, what do we do to get rid of that? Well, we're hearing here what is to be done. But before we get there, let's look at something. Sridhar Swami talks about how bhakti means in this purport prema, and that's what Srila Prabhupada did in his purport. He says how the flow of devotional service, this flows on until it reaches the sea. So he's talking about this love of God reaching prema. And it's such a beautiful analogy, isn't it? That this river goes on unimpeded until it reaches the sea of prema. And in a certain way, Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing who? Krishna, yes. Think about Srimad Bhagavatam, the same canto. Queen Kunti. He's paraphrasing Queen Kunti. Because she says that when Krishna is about to leave Dwarka, right? You know, the Pandavas, they got their kingdom back. You know, everything is nice. You know, the battle is over. King Yudhishthir has been put on the throne. And, you know, now it's okay. Everything's good. And he says, okay, well, time to go. You know, I haven't seen my family in, you know, like months. So, you know, I should be going now. And everybody starts crying, oh, you know, Krishna's leaving, and like that. And, you know, Queen Kunti, she's a pure devotee. So she was like super attached to Krishna. And it's like, okay, now Krishna's leaving, you know, heartbreak. And one of the things that she says is that let my love towards you flow like the Ganges to the sea. Right? So, this, you know, and then she also says, you know, like, let the calamities come again and again. It's like, okay, wow. But at least this one we can relate to. Okay, yeah. You know, let my love flow towards you like the Ganges to the sea. What does it mean, you know, to flow like that? It means to go unimpeded. Let it go unimpeded by any obstacles. When the river flows and it finds like a big rock, it just goes either over it or around it. But it's not stopped. It keeps going. It keeps going. Like the Energizer Bunny. It just keeps going towards its destination. Now, these obstacles, what are these obstacles in bhakti? They are aranartas, aren't they? And we have so many of them. In the stages of devotional service, as we are trying to go from, you know, the stage of Shraddha, of faith, all the way up to prema, right? It is a process of clearing out, of diminishing the most of tamas and rajas, diminishing and allowing the mode of goodness in our devotional service to flow through. And especially, you know, I remember when I was just coming to Krishna consciousness, and I started looking at these stages of devotional service, right? And I was like, okay, I got this one done, I got that one done. Okay, it's going nicely, right? A friend of mine was doing the calculation. He said, when he first came to Krishna consciousness, and he said, you know, I was thinking like, okay, it took me this long to get here, so to get to the others, it will take me, you know, like about a year and a half or so. You know, to get to prema. You know, so jai. You know, pure devotee, year and a half. You know, not as fast as Dhruva Maharaj, but you know, I'm not such a great devotee. But you know, year and a half, that's good enough, right? You know, in a year and a half you can get a good body, and in a year and a half, you know, you can get probably a master's degree, and in a year and a half you can become a pure devotee. Great. You know? I can do all three at the same time. didn't quite work like that, did it? Why? Because the stage of anartha nivritti, of clearing out our anarthas, is so hard. It takes, you know, a long, long time. Generally, when we come to devotional service, you know, there is this impetus, you know, and we get to that Bhajana Kriya, and then, okay, now here's when the rubber hits the road. Now is where we really have to start working on our past anarthas. You know, where we left off in our last lifetime, now we have to deal with it. You know, you learned how to do the mantras, you learned how to do the puja, you learned, you know, how to bow down and shake your head, you know, yes, Prabhuji, you know, you learned all of that. Now, okay, let's deal with the fact that you can't control your senses. Oh boy. So, in this connection, you know, Srila Bhaktivinoda explains some of these obstacles, some of these anarthas in one of his songs. So, with your permission, I would like to, there are 21 demons in Krishna's Leela that he talks about. You know, it was really nice the way he did it. There are 21 demons in Krishna's Leela that he killed, and then he puts he takes each one of these demons and correlates it to one of to an obstacle in our path of bhakti. So, with your permission, I would like to read some of them so that it's just ecstatic hearing it. So, Putana, the witch demoness, she represents the pseudo-guru. Shakatasura, the cart demon, is the, it's carrying the burden of a cartload of old and new bad habits, lethargy and vanity. And as you hear all of these, think about how all of these are related to the modes of rajas and tamas. Every single one of these is a mode, you know, it's either rajas or tamas or a mixture of the two. Trinavarta, the whirlwind demon. False pride that comes from material scholarship, which leads to bogus philosophies. Then the deliverance of Nalakuvara and Manigriva, breaking the twin Arjuna trees. He says it's the arrogant pride that comes from puffed up prestige, which is rooted in the madness for wealth. Vatsasura, the calf demon, a childish mentality which gives rise to a type of greediness, which results in a wicked type of mischievousness. Vakasura, the stork demon, cunning duplicity, deceptiveness, and false types of behavior. Agasura, the snake demon, cruelty and violence. Brahma Mimohan pastime, Lord Brahma stealing the coward boys and the calves, mundane activities and speculative scholasticism. Wow, that was neat. Dhanukasura, the ass demon, gross materialistic intelligence, ignorance of spiritual knowledge. Kaliya, the chastising the Kaliya serpent, brutality and treachery. And it goes on and on. You know, this is an ecstatic, you know, just goes on and on. And, you know, you go like, well, yeah, you know, I have a little bit of that, yeah, and maybe a little bit of that, and oh boy, there's a lot of that there. right? If at least the one of laziness is there, you know, laziness to get up in the morning for the morning program. Oh my God, yeah, you know, okay, I got to do it. Let's do it. But then at some point it's like, okay, you know, I got used to that, right? But then, you know, laziness of japa, you know, just go and chant your japa. Okay, well, I got the 16 rounds done. Okay, can you do 64? Probably. It's a gradual process, right? So when we go through these things, we will see that as we work on ourselves, as we try to go through the process of devotional service, it starts clearing out the modes of tamas and rajas, so that it can leave, and the flow will go on. But there's a difficulty, isn't there? Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, he talks about this in his famous lecture series, Cure of Souls. Has anybody heard of that series? Back when I joined the Brahmacharya Ashram, it was the talk. You know how there are like these fads that go on in you know, sometimes it's like, the a certain type of fast, and everybody's doing the fast. You know, or in this case, it was these lecture series, and everybody had to hear the lecture series. So it was the lecture series of Cure of Souls by Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. It's an ecstatic series of lectures, and there is one specially where he talks about the dark night of the soul. Has anybody heard that term, the dark night of the soul? You've heard about it. So it's this idea that this experience that all the devotees have, as we are, you know, we became fired up, you know, to leave the material world. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, like, I'm done with this. You know, I don't want anything except pure devotional service. Don't talk to me about anything but Krishna Katha. You know, I'm only going to eat Krishna Prasad, and, you know, and I'm going to, you know, like, Prabhu, do you need help with that? Prabhu, do you need help with that? You know, I'm going around everywhere, like, you know, frantic, you know, trying to find devotional service. And then after some time, it's like, yeah, no, Prabhuji, that's not my service. Yeah. Or, that Prabhuji is coming. Let me go around, you know. Because I know what he's going to ask me to do, you know. So, you know, and you know, this complacency starts happening. And the initial taste for Krishna consciousness, you know, that freebie that we got, you know, that promotional window, you know, closed, and now we're doing the hard work, and it's, you know, and we're just doing things sometimes mechanically, and it gets to a point where, you know, we're seeing it that it's very hard. It's very hard to continue because, gosh, I'm not there yet, you know. I am not the pure devotee that has the taste, that has, you know, like, that is ecstatic, you know, by doing, just engaging in devotional service. And I can't go back. I can't go back because I know too much now. Yeah, like the mafia, right? One, you know, you can't leave. You know too much. If you try to go back, you really can't enjoy, because, yeah, it's like, you know, devotees have tried, and we see so many examples of devotees going back, and you're like really trying to, like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy now. I'm going to enjoy my senses. And you see that, you know, you just can't. You know, you know too much about Krishna's devotional service, about, you know, the real purpose of life and all of that. So you really can't enjoy anymore. So now we're stuck in this no man's land, in this desert. We've done like the Jews who escaped from Egypt, and we're now in this no man's land, this desert, and we're dying, you know, of thirst. So we can't go back, and we're still not there. What do we do? What do we do in that position? So the solution is given here to us by Narada Muni. You know, what did he do? He served great souls. Even if we're doing it mechanically, you know, just really endeavored, you know, to do little service. Devotees are so compassionate. They're so, you know, compassionate upon us that even if we do a little service, you know, they magnify it. They magnify it to, you know, to a big extent. Oh, Prabhuji, you're so great, and you did like that. You know, I'm just sweeping the floor. Yes, but the way you're doing it, Prabhuji, is, you know, they're so nice. They will take anything we do and they will magnify it. So that even a simple devotee who has been, you know, maybe doing, you know, like pujari service in a little temple and, you know, has not looked for any recognition like that, devotees look upon that devotee as like, wow, I wish I had his steadiness, right? Who cares about a little person, you know, doing a little service? The devotees do. They recognize that because Krishna recognizes that. So with that little service, then we get a chance to develop the, you know, a taste for hearing. And if we keep on hearing, this thing is not mundane. You know, like we try to read a little bit of Bhagavatam every day. We try to hear a little bit of Bhagavatam every day. Just by doing that, just a little better if we can do more, obviously. But, you know, just endeavor to continue doing it. We will see the effects it has on us. You know, if you're chipping away every day, you know, in a cell, you're in a cell and you're chipping away every single day, just a little bit, there's going to be a day when you're going to finally break free from this cell. The cell is the material world. And we're just chipping at it every day, a little bit. You know, don't get discouraged by the fact that, you know, like, oh, it's not going as fast as I want it. It's better if you get, you know, a pick and a shovel and you just start going like that, even better. But even if it's just a little bit every day, you know, we get that. Because it's going to start working on us more and more. And we were just talking with a devotee the other day. He was telling me that, you know, he was telling me that his spiritual master told him that, and you know, that he should hear his certain series of lecture series that he had done before he can take initiation. So he did, and he said that indeed one of the important points that was stressed in one of those lectures was hearing and trying to come to the mode of goodness. You know, trying to come more to the mode of goodness, so that we can get freed of that. Prabhupada said that he didn't say that cleanliness is next to godliness. He said cleanliness is godliness, right? And cleanliness is mode of goodness. You know, morning program is mode of goodness. Always eating prasadam is mode of goodness. Basically, our whole lifestyle is based on trying to get us to the point of pure goodness so that from there we can blast off into transcendence. And when we do that, we will see that gradually, as Prabhupada says here, it goes from a little rivulet. When the Ganges starts up in the Himalayas, the way that we see it is very, very small, right? Just a little river, but by the time that it gets to the Bay of Bengal, it's a huge river with a lot of force. Basically, if you try to cross it, most people have drowned from it because it's just so powerful. That's how we want our bhakti to, you know, be going, you know, just like whatever obstacles, it doesn't matter, going through everything, and eventually it reaches the sea. And it is actually said in Chaitanya Mangal that the obstacles are the servants of the Lord. When Lord Chaitanya was just took sannyas, He just took sannyas, and he's saying, okay, great, I'm going to Vrindavan. You know, and he starts going to Vrindavan, yay, you know, Vrindavan ki jai, and Lord Nityananda goes and like diverts him a little bit and gets him instead to Shantipur. And so Lord Chaitanya says, like, okay, you tricked me. And yeah, but only because you, inside you really wanted it, and all the devotees too. And who's there in Shantipur? All the devotees, including his mother. And when his mother hears that he's going to go to Vrindavan, she's like, okay, all I ask of you, you know, is that you took sannyas without, you know, like caring for anything, and now I'm going to be like left alone. That's okay. But at least, please, please, don't go to Vrindavan. Go to Puri. It's the same. Vrindavan is not different from Puri. And from Puri, at least I can get news of you. So Lord Chaitanya says, okay, fine. I'll go to Puri. You know, so I'm going to Puri. And then devotees start going like, yeah, but, you know, why don't you wait a little bit? You know, because right now there is political unrest. You know, there's wars in the countries and all that. So please, you know, just stay a little bit. And Lord Chaitanya says, like, when will there ever be a time, you know, when things are going to be just perfect? You know, and then at that moment, Advaita Acharya says, like, yes, my lord, obstacles are actually your servants. So we are hearing that, why are they the servants of the Lord? Because they purify us. We should see all the obstacles that we have, not really as, you know, like, you know, Krishna is just making it hard for me. You know, he's just like, you know, just being like okay, let's see. No, these are Jai Shri Radha Kukunanda, Jai Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Jai Shri Gornitai. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explains that obstacles are actually my greatest ecstasies. The obstacles I encounter in spirit in my life are actually my greatest ecstasies. And why is that? Because it gives us a chance to show the Lord how really committed we are. Right? In a love movie, right? If you see the boy and the girl coming together, and you know, he looks at her, she looks at him, and they go, jai. End of the movie? You go like, that movie sucked. You know? What was it about that movie? But if certainly, you know, like one of them, you know, like the parents go like, no, you cannot marry him because he's from another caste. Oh, you know, big trauma, and you know, now Bollywood scene starts, you know, and you know, this dancing and everything. So this, you know, now it gets exciting, you know, because there is, you know, like there's some obstacles there, right? So, you know, here is a movie playing out, and it's our lives, right? And because of these obstacles, we get to really show Krishna how much we really want his love. You know, how much we're really going to endeavor for it. And it's an ecstasy to do it, you know. When the mothers have their children like that, what are some of the greatest ecstasies once they're like, once they've passed, you know, some of those traumatic periods? It's like, yeah, you know, like I used to go, you know, nights without sleeping, you know, nights, and you know, and yeah, and you know, when my child, you know, like that, so they're just like remembering like all of these hardships, but they're, you know, it's with love, you know, and cherishing them. So we still have 10 more minutes in case anybody has any questions, comments, chastisements, or wisecracks.